Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? It's good to see each and every one of you. For those of you that may not know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. Hope that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving with family and friends and just celebrating in great company. I'd like to give just a special welcome to all those who will be listening to our message online later today. Why don't we give them a big hand and a big welcome this morning? Come on, let our online community know that we appreciate them. I just want to just share just a couple of just real quick announcements with you here this morning. Want to let you know that on December 16th, we will be having our legacy offering, and those of you that have been around here for a while understand and know what that is. The rest of you, we're going to talk a little bit about that on next week. And next Sunday, we're calling Vision Sunday, and we're going to just talk about what God has for us as a church for 2019. How many of you are, two sets of hands. How many of you are glad 2018 is kind of wrapping up? Like, you know, life has been throwing some difficulties, all right? How many of you are just looking forward to a chance for a fresh start and a new page? I think all of us, there's just something great about the new year. And so I'm going to just share some vision with you and some of the things that are going on. And so that's next week, Sunday. Don't want you to miss that as well. Also want to remind you, if you've not already signed up for the ladies' Christmas event, Christmas craft event, that is next Saturday. You can see Liana for more information about that if you've not done it. But the deadline is coming really quick. Well, today we're jumping into the third week of our series where we have been learning how to live a blessed life. Everybody say, blessed life. All right, so how many of you would agree with Jesus when he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive? How many of you agree with that? All right, so most of our hands are on you. Now, just a moment of transparency and honesty here in church. How many of you wish he would have said it's more blessed to receive than it is to give, right? Come on, be honest. It's all right, you can be honest. All right, a mother wanted to teach her young daughter a lesson, and so she gave her a quarter and a dollar bill, and she told her, put whichever one you want into the giving kiosk as an offering, and then I want you to keep the other one for yourself. And so on the car ride home, the mother asked which amount she had given, and the little girl said, well, I was going to give the dollar, but the person doing the giving talk said that we should all be cheerful givers. And she said, I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, and so that's what I did. And unfortunately, a lot of people feel that way when it comes to giving of their time and of their talent and their treasure. But as we have walked through this series, my hope is that we will begin to discover the immense joy that comes from giving. And that when we give, we are actually serving and glorifying God. How many of you want to serve and glorify God with your life? I think all of us would say that. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9, there's an interesting verse of scripture. I encourage you to pull out your sermon outline and follow along with us. The scriptures are there. There's some places that you can take some notes. But this is what it says. It says, he who has a generous eye. Now, most of you, or those of you that know me really well, know that I'm really a 12-year-old wrapped in a 40-year-old man's body. When I read things like this, I'm thinking, what on earth is a generous eye? Is there just like this eye that just like money and gifts just shoot out of eyeballs? Is there this big, you know, eyeball floating around? He who has a generous eye, is what Scripture says, will be, everybody say it, blessed. Now, some people here in our room have an eye for talent. There are others here who have an eye for fashion, an eye for order, an eye for systems. Many of us have an eye for food, right? Can we all say amen after this week? I'm sorry if I was distracted in the first song of worship, but I gained some weight this week, and my belt literally exploded during the first song of worship, and I was afraid my pants were going to fall off the entire service. So I've got them cinched up when I went to the back. So listen, a lot of us have an eye for food. We understand that. But Solomon writes about having a generous eye, and that is where you live your life, looking around and saying, God, who can I bless? What do I have that you can use to make a difference? And what I love about this verse is that it tells us that if we will develop a generous eye, we will be blessed. And that's really what this whole series is all about. How do I live a blessed life? In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, this is what Jesus said. He said, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. And so what happens is there is a supernatural transaction that occurs when we give. And he goes on and says, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. When you give, it will be given back to you. And I want you to listen to this. That doesn't necessarily mean when you give money that you'll get more money back, all right? That's not what this verse is saying. But what it does mean is that when we learn to be generous, we will be blessed and will receive that blessing back to us in a myriad of different ways. But here's the bottom line this morning. This is a spiritual law, all right? What we sow is what we will reap. And so when we live a life of generosity, God will bless us. And here's the good thing. I want you to catch this. There is nothing, everybody say nothing, nothing that Satan, our spiritual enemy, can do to stop God's blessing in your life. And so what Satan will attempt to do is he will attempt to distort our relationship with. He tries to twist our perspective when it comes to the blessings that God has given us. And watch what happens. If we leave this unchecked, we'll start making excuses as to why we can't use our time and our talent and our treasure because of the very blessings that God has given to us. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I've heard people who've raved about a miracle that God performed in their life. Maybe it was a new job or a career that they didn't deserve, a position of influence, maybe even having children. But months or years later, they've allowed that miracle to become the excuse for why they can't serve and why they can't give and why they can't be faithful to God's house. And so I want to share with you this morning two wrong responses to God's blessing that Satan will attempt to use to deceive us. And so if you're taking notes, the first wrong response to the blessing of God in your life, number one, is pride. Everybody say pride. Pride. People who are proud of what they have. Jesus actually confronted this attitude with the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:17. He said this, you say, I am rich. I have everything that I want. I do not need a thing. And a lot of people struggle with the same thing when life is going good, when everything is just smooth sailing. You know, they'll be like, man, I've got a job and my health is good and my marriage is working and I don't really need God. I've got all this other stuff. And so watch what Jesus goes on to say. He says, and you don't realize, you think that you're rich. You think you've got it all working together, but you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What can happen is we can become proud of everything we have and we can forget the source from which it came. And this is the way a lot of people respond to the blessings of God. And if we're not careful, after a while, we'll start to think, I earned this. I worked hard for this. I deserve it. My efforts have caused all the good things in my life. Look at what I've done. If we're not careful, a spirit of entitlement, a spirit of pride will begin to rise inside of us. You can even be poor by whatever standard of measurement that you like to use and still allow this spirit of pride to affect you. You can say things like, well, if I had what they have, you know, we look at the Joneses next door who seem to have a little bit more. If I had what they had, I could manage it so much better. I would do so much, so many different things. If I had all of those blessings, here's what I would do with it. You see, but I want you to understand this morning is that having a heart of generosity has nothing to do with the income bracket that you fall in. In fact, the book of James reminds us of this fact. He says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from who? From God, our Father. The source of all the blessings. The source of all of the good things in our lives, our homes, whether we own our own home or whether we rent, our careers, our children, our minimum wage job, or the job that we have that allows us to have a corner executive suite, a $5 Little Caesars pizza, or a meal at the most expensive restaurant in town. It is all because of our good and perfect Heavenly Father. So the first wrong response to God's blessing is a spirit of pride. Here's the second one, number two, everybody say shame. Shame. Some are proud of what they have, while others are can be embarrassed or even feel guilty about that what they have. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 9, Jacob was praying, and so he calls out to God, and he says, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. And then you can almost hear the shame in the next verse, in verse 10, when he says this. He says, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan. In other words, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. I'm embarrassed by all of these blessings. The pride and shame. You've got those who say, I earned it and I deserve it. And others say, you know what, I'm kind of embarrassed and I don't really deserve what God has done in my life. Listen, you can often see these two different extremes play out when you give someone a compliment, right? Suppose someone has a nice shirt. You walk up to him and say, man, Costanzo, I really like your shirt. He often has very nice shirts on, so let's use him as an example. And if they are proud, now he doesn't do this, but if they're proud, they'll respond like this, something like this. They're like, man, thank you. I bought this at Neiman Marcus, you know. It's from the fall line of, you know, Dolce & Gabbana, you know, and it's a limited edition. There was only three of them made in the entire world. It was $450, and you're, $450. Everything in my closet doesn't even cost $450, right? That's one extreme. Or maybe they're ashamed and they say, oh, this old thing, it's really nothing. It was a $3 thrift store special, and I even got half off because a button was missing, and this button doesn't even match. I just took one off and sewed it on another shirt, right? So two extremes. And so what's interesting to me, as you think about this, is I cannot think of any other area of blessings from God that people are ashamed of like they are when it comes to material and financial blessings. If someone would come up to me and say, you know, Andrew, just wanted to let you know, Shyla is so great. She's such an amazing leader. She's so wonderful. You are so blessed. You know, I don't respond to you. I don't go, no, you don't. I got her half price. I mean, she was cheap. Oscar and Allison paid me to take her away. No, I don't apologize for that. I just say, you know what? Yes, God has blessed me so much. And yet for some reason, when it comes to this area of material blessings, there's often a pride as if we earned it, or a shame because we feel guilty. And so many people live in the reality of one of these two extremely unhealthy responses. And so this morning, as we move on through this, I want to really challenge you to remember why God has blessed you. I know we just came through Thanksgiving, and I know what can happen is we can get so busy and, you know, getting the turkey and the stuffing and or dressing, depending on what part of the country you're from, and, you know, all the spread put out, and we can be running so fast, you know, getting the house cleaned up and everything ready for guests and all that we can forget the reason for the day. It's a day of thanksgiving. It's a day to look back and remember all of the things that God has done in our lives. And so why did God bless us? He didn't bless you because you deserve it. He didn't bless us because we earned it. He didn't bless us to make us feel bad. He blessed us for a purpose. And so Paul tells us what that purpose is in 2 Corinthians 9:11. He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way. Everybody say every way. How many of you are glad that the Lord wants to enrich you in every single way, right? And it's not just financially. Listen, if all you're doing is hoping to get from God more money and more things, you're missing the point. God wants to enrich our lives in every single way. He wants to bless us relationally. He wants to bless our health. He wants to bless our career. He wants to bless us with intimacy and trusted friendships. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. Now watch this. Why? This is so important. So that he's going to enrich you in every way so that you can always be what? Generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. And that really is the reason we have been blessed, is so that we can allow the blessing to flow through us and be generous to others. And when you do that, people are going to say, you know what, man, thank you, God, for sending that person just at that right moment. God, thank you for sending that person. Thank you for speaking to them, allowing our paths to cross. They blessed us so much. This really is, in essence, what God said to Abraham in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. There it is, the blessed life. And I will make you famous. But watch this. The blessed life comes so that you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And this is the truth. The blessings that we have come from God for the distinct purpose of blessings being a blessing to others. I was listening to a call-in radio advice program recently, and the caller was looking for some help, asking for some advice on how to handle her negativity and ugly behavior that had then kind of, actually the call was about her daughter's ugly behavior, and then as the advice person began to dig in, the daughter was just acting like the mom. How many of you hate to hear that, right? Sometimes the problems we see in our kids are usually because of us. They're just repeating what they, that's another sermon. Well, you guys don't want to hear that on Thanksgiving Sunday, right? And there were so many ways that the host could have responded to this lady's negativity, but she asked this question. I thought it was so powerful. She asked, when was the last time you did something good for someone else? In other words, when was the last time you were generous and served somebody else? When was the last time you gave sacrificially? The reason we battle with negativity and ugliness in our lives is because we become so selfish and we become so self-centered. And so here's the challenge of today's message of living with a generous eye, because God has blessed us with more. We will intentionally give more. Because we are blessed with so much, we should be intentional about giving so much. And this really is a challenge for all of us in this room. I don't think there's probably anyone in this room that says, oh, I've got this down. This is so easy for me. Because we're not hardwired to be intentional givers, right? How many of you ever had to teach your two-year-old to be selfish? Right? No, they just come out and everything is what? It's mine and I want this and it's mine and it's mine. We're hardwired that way. We're much better at being intentional consumers, right? Right, when we get a raise or bonus, the first thing that we tend to think about is, well, what can I buy, right? Right, can I get that new car, or what vacation can we take, or how can I pamper myself? Am I the only one who ever does that when I get a raise, right? No, I think a lot of us in this room. And so as intentional consumers, we've figured out all sorts of ways to get what we really want. And so the reason that we navigate through and we battle with this is because we're just trying to figure out, how can I get the things that I want? How can I get the things that'll make me, or that I think will make me feel happy? We'll save money, we'll clip coupons. Like, anybody here ever start thinking about your tax return like in August for the next year? Right? right? Oh, I'm going to get that. Yeah, I'm going to get that chunk of money, and then I'm going to do this. And so we'll wait till it's on sale, right? Or worse yet, we'll take out the credit card, and then we'll end up paying triple for what the thing cost in the first place. But listen, regardless of our method, we have all figured out how to get what we want. How many of you have figured out how to get what you want at this point? Like, if you're an adult over 18, you probably, all of us, have probably said, yeah, I've learned how to get the things that I want. But listen, we intentionally consume. And listen, God wants us to use that same laser-like focus that we have when we want something to strategize on all the different ways that we can intentionally be generous. It's the truth. And so in our remaining time this morning, I want to share three different types of givers and how we can grow in being more effective in our giving. The first type, if you're taking notes, talking about growing givers here, is what most of us in this room, we fall into this category. Number one, that is the spontaneous giver. The spontaneous giver. There's a great example of this type of giver found in Luke chapter 10. Jesus tells a story about a Samaritan who came across an injured guy that had been beaten and he had been left for dead on the side of the road. And so a couple of people passed by this man who was in obvious need. He was in turmoil, but they just went past and let him lay there. But the Samaritan man, he had a generous eye. And so he said, I see a need that I can meet, and therefore, I'm not going to wait around for a, you know, church service on Sunday. I'm not going to wait till we gather. I see a need, and I'm just going to meet that need. And so he put some medicine on the man's wounds, and he bandaged him up, and he put him up on his donkey, and he took him to the hotel. And then I want you to watch what happens. Luke 10:35, most of us, if we would have even done that, would have stopped there. But Luke 10:35 says, the next day, he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, take care of this man, and if his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time that I'm here. And this was a man who had a generous eye. He saw a need, and without hesitation, he met it. And most of us, we give this way. We are moved by compassion. We're moved by an issue or a need, and we give. You know, we see the commercial with Sarah McLachlan singing in the background, the arms of an angel with sad-looking puppy dogs, and we race to our phones and get our credit cards out to save the puppies. Like, we're moved by compassion. And so while being spontaneous is great, if that's the only way that we give, we will be limited by what we can accomplish. And so the next step, number two, this is, we're all kind of taking these steps. Number two is to be a strategic giver. A strategic giver is one who says we are going to plan in advance how we will be a blessing. Isaiah 32:8 says it this way, but generous people plan to do what is generous. In other words, they literally sit down and they strategize. How can we be more generous? How can we develop a generous eye? How can we maximize the blessings that we have in order to help as many people as possible? And the verse goes on to say, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm. They stand firm in their generosity. They not only make the plan, but they stick to it. Last week, we talked about being strategic with our finances. We talked about bringing our first and our best, the tithe, to God. And when we bring our first and best, He will always bless the rest. Strategically, I am honored to arrange my life around, in my life and my finances around God. I am putting God first. I make the conscious choice to return to Him 10% of what He entrusts to me. I return the tithe unto God through the storehouse, His church. I have planned. I have a strategy. That's our starting point. And we actually see this kind of strategic generosity in Scripture when Abraham sends his servant out to find a wife for his son Isaac. And so what does he do? He gets a group of camels and animals together, and he loads them up with all sorts of gold gifts, expensive gifts. And he told the servant, he said, when you find the one, I want you to present her with all of these gifts. He thought ahead of time. He made a plan, right? In fact, the three wise men, when they came to visit Jesus, they didn't come in and go, oh, awesome, son of God. Like, how many of you ever gone to a birthday party and realize you forgot to bring a gift, right? And you kind of like, oh, I hope no one sees me. And you kind of like stay away from the gift table, right? And, you know, and so when the three wise men, they made this massive journey to come and see Jesus, and they didn't start asking, hey, do you got a quarter on you? Some I can just like drop in the plate, like when no one's looking. No. They planned ahead of time. They were strategic. They brought valuable gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why? Because generous people plan in advance to be generous. And so as a church, I'm so happy to stand up here and tell you that we also as a church have strategically decided to be generous. We give as much stuff away as we can, from gift cards to coffee and donuts every Sunday morning, to journals, to Bibles and t-shirts, to, you know, we give to other ministries outside of this church, church plants and overseas missions and food pantries and drug rehabilitation centers and ministries that serve and help the homeless. Listen, it's intentional. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. And I want God's blessing on our church. And so if you're a spontaneous giver, it's a great place to start. But know that God is calling each and every one of us to move to be strategic givers. And then the third level, if you're taking notes, number three, the last blank in your outline, is this: sacrificial givers. Sacrificial givers. These are the people who have come to the realization that what they have in this world is not for them, but that it's all for God. Solomon, the king of Israel, instead of sacrificing one bull, which was the standard offering when someone was anointed to be king, he decided that he wanted to do more, and so he gave 1,000 bulls. He sacrificed 1,000 bulls before God. David, his father, when he had a chance to offer some oxen as a sacrifice and worship to God, a guy came up to him and said, here, you know what? You can take anything of mine. Anything that I have is yours. Just take it and offer it up. And David said, no. You don't understand. I can't do that. I must pay for it. I will not sacrifice anything that didn't cost me something. In other words, I want to feel it when I give. There's a beautiful story found in Mark 12. 41, it says, as Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. I know a lot of people don't like the church talking about money. Imagine walking into church and Jesus sitting out there looking at the giving kiosk when you walk in. Talk about an uncomfortable position to be in, because even if you try to hide it, he already knows what you put in it, right? So Jesus is sitting in the lobby, right next to the green giving kiosk, right outside the door. He's sitting there, and he's watching what people put in. Going on, it says, as many rich people put in large amounts, almost implying that it wasn't really very difficult for them because they had so much. But verse 42 says, then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. That tells you how close Jesus, like he could see. She dropped 2 small coins, and Jesus calls his disciples over. Now imagine this. Not only is Jesus sitting there close, but he brings his 12 over. Hey, guys, come over here. Look at this. This is what he says. I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Sacrificial giving. In fact, studies have shown in the United States of America, the more income people make, the less percentage of giving they do. It's a proven fact. It's sacrificial giving. People will think, well, I don't have much to give. It's so small, it won't make a difference. No. Oftentimes, the biggest sacrifices we will ever make when it appears that we have the least amount to give. But as we talked about last week, it's the blessed test. God wants to know, will you give sacrificially? Will you give to the point that you actually feel what you're giving? And so here's my prayer for you. I hope that you'll give spontaneously and that you'll see a need that you can meet, and then you'll just meet it. But don't stop there. I hope you'll give strategically, where it is a monthly part, a prayerful part of your financial planning. And just like you strategize what to get, you're going to strategize on what to give. And then some of you, you're going to see God's blessing begin to rise up in your life. Like we talked about in week one, you're going to move from the bag to the basket and then into the barn mindset. And you're going to see his blessings rise to the point that you're going to say, you know what? We're willing to feel this, and we can give above the 10% tithe, and we're going to bring offerings, and we're going to support missionaries, and we're going to do some other things to be a blessing. We're going to give like only blessed people can. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. So this morning, I hope you understand that this series is just as much about the way we spend our lives as the way we spend our money. We have been blessed to serve. God has blessed each and every one of us in this room to be able to serve one another. In fact, the Bible refers to that as collectively we are the body of Christ. So every single one of us, you with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, you have been strategically placed in this church for a specific purpose. And so he saved and blessed you to make a difference and to serve, to invest your time and talent doing things of eternal significance. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, one of the most startling stories in all of Scripture, Jesus tells a story about a master who went away on a long trip. And before he left, he gave his three servants, in proportion to their ability, a sum of money. In fact, a few versions of the Bible actually refer to what he gave them as talents. And so while the master was gone, the one that had been given five talents, five sums, worked hard. He invested it. He doubled it. He doubled the five, and now he had 10. And then the one who had been given two talents also doubled the two and had four to present the master when the master returned home. And let's watch what the master replied to these first two servants. He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." But watch this. The servant who had been given one talent, he was too busy. He was afraid of the work. He was afraid to invest. He was afraid to get involved. He was afraid to sacrifice. He actually took that talent and he buried it in the ground. And then when the master came back, he dug it up and he simply returned it to the master. And I want you to notice this morning. He didn't steal it. He didn't use it to buy the equivalent of a Starbucks latte, right? Or whatever it was in that day. No, he didn't spend it on himself. He didn't buy a nice new robe. He simply returned it to the master unused. And the master was furious. And he called the servant wicked and lazy. And he took away what had been given to him, and he cast him away simply because he refused to use his gifts. And verse 29 says this, "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance." We're talking about the blessed life. "But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." Listen, God's called us to serve. He wants us to be generous, not just with our finances, but also with our time and our talents. In fact, Pastor Rick Warren said it this way. He said, "When you give someone your time, you are giving them a portion of your life that you will never, ever get back. Your time is your life. And that is why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time." So there are people sitting here today. You're gifted in all sorts of areas. God has blessed you. God has positioned you in the body of Christ to make a difference. But for whatever reason, you're not using those talents for God. You're not using them for the master. And can I tell you this morning, I believe that your life will never make sense. You will not live a blessed life until you learn to use your God-given abilities to make a difference in the world. In fact, right now, we have opportunities for people to serve on our usher team and in our Kids Way team, on the production, on the worship team. And I believe that God is here this morning, and he's trying to nudge some people, say, hey, come on, get off the sideline. I didn't just save you to come sit on a chair every Sunday morning. Come on, stop being bystanders and go ahead and get in the game. So if you want to be involved, I encourage you to see any member of our team. They'll connect you with the right leader, the right person. But as I close this morning, you may be sitting here and you find yourself in a season of struggle, like I have in various seasons of my life, where I've struggled with an attitude of selfishness. I want you to know that this root of selfishness is really the very thing that keeps us away from God. Selfishness is doing our life my way. It's getting what I want, no matter who it hurts, no matter who it affects. It's getting my way. Really, our selfishness is really sinfulness. It's us saying, God, I don't care about your standards. I want to do what I want. God, would you, you know what? I'm just going to, just leave me alone. Just let me do me. And our sin, this attitude of selfishness, is really what separates us from a loving and a holy God. So as we head into this Christmas season, I challenge you to think about what God did for you, what God did for me. He was so generous. He left the splendors of heaven. He took on the form of man. He robed himself in flesh. He was born with the sole purpose of dying in our place. He went to the cross. He shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And so when you call on Jesus and you ask him to save you, he will forgive every sin that you have ever committed. And when we truly recognize the price that he paid for us, the only reasonable response is to give him our whole life back. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're ready to say, you know what? Today, Lord, I'm asking you, I'm calling on you to save me. Jesus, I'm gonna be generous with my entire life. Take it all, Lord. I surrender it all to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. But if that's where you find yourself this morning, I want to pray for you. So if you just signify that by lifting up your hands right now in this place. Is there anybody who says, you know what, I'm ready to make that decision? Thank you. 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 And there's hands all over the place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that it challenges us, changes us, causes us to be more like you. And so, Lord, today I just pray for every hand that was raised. Lord, together we make the decision all over again, maybe for the first time. But Lord, we make the decision to give our lives to you. Lord, I ask that you take my brokenness, take my pain, Lord, and I just give you my life, Lord Jesus, and I thank you today for the cross of Calvary. Lord, I thank you for your blood that you shed for me so that my sins could be washed away. Lord Jesus, I pray for the rest of us here that you would give us a generous eye. Lord God, that we would move from being a spontaneous giver, Lord Jesus, to being strategic, Lord God, and then even moving into being sacrificial. Lord, because there's so many who are outside of the walls of this auditorium today who are hurting and broken, and if we're not your hands and feet, then who will be? And so, Lord God, right now, we give our lives to you all over again. those who become complacent, those who've stepped away, those who've walked away from your plan for them. Lord, we say we're sorry. We turn our life over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.